What's up, Atlanta? Happy Tuesday with Turtle. Well, fibbing right out the gate. Not so much of a happy Tuesday. Can't lie to you. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the free Odyssey app. It is Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you for the full four. And if you happen to catch the Falcons flyover on Sunday, I had quite a few things to say. And I'll share some of those thoughts with you. But more importantly, I have some new ones. Because as this game has aged, to me, it has not aged well. What do I mean by that? I'll explain. Just give me a second. The other and final piece of the puzzle was how were the Vikings going to look on Monday Night Football? Did you see J.J. McCarthy in the fourth quarter? Try 21 points. Okay. So now we have the entire puzzle put together. What are we going to do with it? How do we take the disaster that was this week one matchup versus the Bucs, examine it, break it down, and then flush it? Can you? Can we? That's something I want to talk to you about tonight at 404-726-0929. I think there are lingering aspects from this game that could haunt the Falcons. I also think there are lingering aspects from this game that will be overwhelming positives from the Falcons, including QB1. And how about tight end 1? That was a promising showing. Loved what I saw. Get him more involved, especially if Drake London and Mooney aren't going to be 100%. We know where it all begins and ends. Today, the Falcons brought in some competition. John Parker Romo was signed to the practice squad, and he will be kicking against Younghoe Koo this week. No decision has been made, obviously not yet. Raheem Morris, I believe, speaks again to the media tomorrow. But here's where I stand right now. The importance of this week one game was not merely a win-loss thing, which we know now the Falcons put themselves in a hole in the division. You have to beat Tampa the next time around, and it's going to be in their place. You had them in your place, and you couldn't get it done. And now you face a Vikings team that is red hot coming off of that win, that comeback epic performance against the Bears on Monday Night Football. And you know what the thing is? Their defense didn't even play that great. Their defense is capable of playing much better. I'm not going to say before this I thought it would have been a cakewalk. That's not fair. But I'm certainly a lot more concerned about this game on Sunday than I was before the Falcons played the Bucs in week one. So here's my question to you right now. 404-726-0929. Do you feel better, worse, or about the same going into this Sunday Night Football game? Because there are things to take away, like I said, that could leave you feeling confident. If you feel like the defense just scratched the surface, our defense can also be a lot better. Maybe Xavier Watts catches the ball next time. You know, maybe Jalen Walker or James Pierce register a stat. I think Walker had a couple of tackles, but that was it. And I don't, sidebar real quick, I agree with Mike Bell on this. I know some of you can throw at me at CT Tonight 929 is where you find the show, that James Pierce like led or was tied for second, pressures among rookies. Listen, man, I don't care. You know what the only stat I care about is? It sounds so barbaric and cliche. Win the game, man. I don't care if James Pierce Jr. had 12 pressures. You lost. And you couldn't get Baker Mayfield on the ground. It's funny. I've been having people hit me up on Twitter, again, at CT Tonight 929 is where you find the show. Oh, Turtle, you know, I feel confident because they were close and, you know, we almost got Baker on the ground. And I'm like, guys, what game were you watching? He threw for 3 touchdowns, 2 to a rookie, and he was also their leading rusher. Can we just have an honest conversation about that? Like, oh, almost only count. No, it doesn't. Almost doesn't count in this situation, y'all. You lost the game. You lost the game. And no, it wasn't just because Younghoe Koo missed the potential game-tying kick. He gets a portion of the blame, that's for sure. But it's also because you couldn't stop another late game drive. It's also because one of your top prize defenders couldn't keep his hands off the quarterback. It's also because, again, you got beat over the top for deep plays to a rookie wide receiver, explosive plays, twice. Again, timeouts, situational awareness reared its ugly head again and again and again. This felt like 2024, 2023, 2022, 2021, all over again. Is Michael Penix a difference? Of course he is. Was he great in this game? Yeah, he was. But here's the thing. He threw the ball 40-plus times. What was I pounding the table on all last week? If Michael Penix Jr. throws the ball more than 30 times, that's not a game plan for success for the Falcons. And you know what? It wasn't this time either. Because you know how many yards they ran for? 69 total yards. Bijan Robinson averaged 2 yards a carry. Tyler Allgeier averaged 2.4 yards a carry. You're not going to win games like that. So again, after watching the Vikings last night with that epic comeback and their defense, I know is better than that, I am not as confident about this game on Sunday. My confidence, in all honesty, was a lot higher before they played the Bucs in week 1. Again, I could be wrong, and they can come out and dominate on Sunday night, and I hope they do. But I did not like what I saw for a lot of that game on Sunday. To me, it was more highlights amongst lowlights than it was lowlights amongst highlights. That's how the game felt to me. Because it was the same crap. Couldn't get Baker Mayfield on the ground. Scrambling. Key first downs. Giving up chunk explosive plays that result in touchdowns. Not enough sacks. Not enough quarterback pressures. Not enough making Mayfield feel the rush. None of that. And that's exactly what spoiled the Falcons last year, along with the obvious, which was Kirk Cousins. So 404-726-0929. How do you feel after this game? We got a tough one coming up on Sunday night. These first couple of games for the Falcons, not easy. It could get ugly. Or it could not. Or they could rally. You could see the improvement on the defense that we need to see. And the offense maybe can get out there and establish the run. Because I'll tell you what right now. That's the number one thing, even more so than the kicker. Because I'm going to be honest, you know, again, I said this on Sunday. Much respect for Koo. He's a great teammate, great person, and does great things for the city. But that doesn't matter when you can't do your job. You could be the best person in the world. It's a business, just like anything else. If you're not good at your job, and in this case, not even competent at your job, you're not going to have one for long. You can get a new kicker in here. That's not something I'm concerned long-term about. What I am concerned long-term about is if you can run the ball. Because without Caleb McGarry, the Bucs have a good defensive line. They don't have a top, 10-ish defensive line in football. There are teams that you're going to be facing, including the Vikings. I would argue their defensive front much stronger than the Bucs, especially if they're playing up to their potential, which they did not early on against Caleb Williams and the Bears. So we'll take your calls, 404-726-0929. How do you feel about the Vikings game after not only watching what the Falcons did on Sunday, another choke job, and then the Vikings with the epic comeback on Monday Night Football. Your calls are next, 404-726-0929. Chris Thomas, Turtle with you on a Tuesday, just getting started. 92.9 The Game, and of course, on the free Odyssey app.